Happy Wednesday, everybody, and welcome to the Wednesday edition of Open Mic here on 104.5 The Team, ESPN Radio, and the free 104.5 The Team app. That is M-I-K-E, the spelling of Mike, just in case anybody forgot. I'm your host, Michael Johnson Jr. They call me MJ. The man across the glass is Chris Lockwood. Thought we were going to have a full house, but no Steve Jones, no Joe Lorenzo, but that's all right. The boys are busy. We get that. It happens. Chris Lockwood's not because he's busy. Actually, he is busy, but he's helping me produce at a high level and the greatest show on the radio airwaves in the capital region. It's not even close. I'm only kidding. Thanks, everybody, for tuning in. I'll take you up until 4 p.m. where it'll be Freddie and Harry from 4 to 6:25, and then the Yankees have a big one, Game 3, against the Toronto Blue Jays, trying to win that series as it's tied a game apiece. Eric Moody, fantasy football, ESPN, a little bit of betting too, 3:45. Stump MJ coming up at 3:15, the final pair of Adam Sandler tickets for September. If you stump me with a sports trivia question, which, let's face it, let's be honest, has been, I think, more than doable for most listeners here recently. That's at 3:15, 3:30. Dogs of the Week, Mike Trop, Chris Lockwood will come in with some games. Eric Moody at 3:45. But we begin with the main event on this Wednesday, July the 23rd.
What is Mike's main event? Find out now on Open Mic.
And again, I'm off tomorrow and Friday. Some best of editions, interviews that you missed. Tomorrow will be, of course, Ian Eagle, Eddie Olczyk, and Sam Rosen from week one. And then week two, it will be on Friday, and it is David Sampson, Freddie Coleman, and Randy Scott. So that'll be a lot of fun. Big Board Sports with Roger Weiland and Vinny Fredericks the next 2 days. Vinny, of course, of the hot seat. Well, the main event's pretty simple. The Yankees won a game they so desperately needed to win, and its series is now tied one game apiece against the Toronto Blue Jays. And I'll just say this right now, and there's a sound cut I want to get to about Aaron Boone. He was on Talking Yanks, John Boy Media podcast, which is a great listen, by the way, for Jimmy O'Brien, Jake Storiali. It was 5-4 the final. Ben Rice's go-ahead homer in the ninth was the difference off of local product from Shaker High School, Jeff Hoffman. Anthony Volpe did not have a revenge game. He was 0-3, and he had his major league leading 13th error, tying Willy Adames. Here's the thing. I rarely defend Volpe. I will last night. I don't think that's a big time error. I think if that's Paul Goldschmidt, it gets scooped. I think it's because it was Ben Rice. It was a poor play. The throw was just a little bit short, but it's clearly becoming mental for a guy like Anthony Volpe. But the Yanks get it done. Devin Williams, shaky at best, and Cam Schlittler, solid. I think more than solid again, right? Didn't have his best stuff, but clearly is showing some potential here with this Yankees team. And Hamilton got the win. Schlittler stat line was 5 innings, 7 hits, 2 earned runs, 3 walks, 3 strikeouts on 90 pitches. It's a 4.35 ERA in 2 starts for the Yankee youngster. And now you shift to tonight. And after tonight, it'll be only 60 games remaining in the rest of the season. You lose, you're down 4 to the Blue Jays. You win, you're down 2 with a day off, and the Phillies come out of town. And the Blue Jays, if you watch their schedule, after the Yankees, go to the Detroit Tigers. So that is a huge series to watch this weekend. Max Fried, Chris Bassitt. Bassitt's been solid. He's 10-4 with a 3.89 ERA. Fried is 11-3 with a 2.43 ERA. First start since the blister that he suffered on Saturday, July the 12th. With all this being said, Fried needs to go out there and absolutely shove and go deep. I think he can go 7 strong tonight, at least 6. The Yankees will need him to. Yankees need to find a way to win this game because 2 is a whole heck of a lot better than 4 with 60 games left. That'll still be an uphill climb. But I want to play you. Played it, I believe, at least most of it earlier on Big Board Sports with Roger and I. But I want to play the Aaron Boone cut that Chris Lockwood just cut and Hunter DePace did for us this morning. And it's pretty good. It's about 2 minutes long. Enjoy Yankees manager Aaron Boone when being questioned by the guys at Talkin' Yanks, John Boy Media, about Anthony Volpe's recent struggles. Take a listen.
But understand the pestering, bantering, leading questions that are being asked of our guys.
I understand that.
And I don't want them to just fly off the handle and be emotional. You know, we've been pretty good over the years of compartmentalizing and dealing with the everyday grind of the regular season and playing in New York and all the, and you start getting emotional and going down that road, it's a bad trait.
I get it. I guess there's just a difference. Like, you know, Weaver had a couple bad outings. The way he talked to the media, it felt honest and it felt,
okay,
and he was like,
everyone's different. Stop with the reaction of how a guy answers a freaking question.
It's not, But it's not. It's not one guy. It's like
okay. We got to win. We understand.
Got to win.
Okay.
I remembered my question from earlier.
We are obsessed with it and hell bent preparation wise. And guys give a rip. Okay.
So this is great, but this doesn't come through.
Because everyone handles things different. Some people will give you colorful answers.
Yeah.
Oh, I love that media answer. Some guys throw their helmet. Does that make you feel good? Some guys are calm. Like. Stop it. It doesn't mean a guy cares more or less because he dives into home plate. Okay.
Well, yeah.
Okay. It's you got to be angry at something because we didn't win. Or so I got to direct my anger at something.
Yeah. I hear you're saying that you guys feel urgency, that you want to win. That doesn't come across. The messaging has been there's a lot of season left. We just got to keep going and we're fine. You know, no, I don't regret that play. I wouldn't have done things any differently. It's like, well, that the messaging feels different than what you just delivered. That's
then
all.
You don't listen to all my answers then. You pull.
No, answer. I'm not talking about you. I think you've actually been way more in this this season.
Well, Luke Weaver, you loved his answer.
Yeah, I also love Luke Weaver, though.
Okay. Like, you pull, you're cherry-picking the answers you like that are like, yeah. That's
yes.
Tugging at my fandom in the
yes.
right way.
Yes.
Like, sorry, they're not robots.
Well, okay? Yeah, that's what I want.
Yeah.
I want more non-robotic answers.
I don't care what you want.
All right, well, I'm just letting you know.
These are answers of pestering everyday questions.
I don't care what you want. Oof. Booney, get a little fired up with that sound cut. Yeah, a couple things. One, not the best look for Aaron Boone. I think it's good look for him to be able to go on the podcast and showcase himself, but getting mad like that, he's going to get it eaten, chewed up, and spit out and eaten alive, like he has been here on the podcast platform on Talking Yanks with John Boy Media. So that's one. Two, we know that you want to win anyway, so just go out there and win the games. Like saying things that are completely obvious as the manager in the New York Yankees, and like. And throughout all that, Jimmy and Jake from Talking Yanks are doing nothing wrong. They're asking non-journalistic BS media questions that everybody asks, and he's going to give the same answers to. And Boone's, I think it's pent-up frustration. He is ranting because he is extremely frustrated. You know, it's been a frustrating season. It's been a frustrating tenure. If you're Aaron Boone, I personally like the answers. It's like, well, all right, Boone. I want you to smack the table and the water bottle falls, right? I don't want to... Yeah, you know, I tell you what, you look at last night, Max was good, not great. You know, he threw a lot of good pitches. He was right there, and the Yankees go and lose like 8-0. He'd still find a way to, he's like, Volpe, on that one, yeah, it was right there. Just missed his chest. It was just a short hop right into the glove. Yeah, you know, I really think we're putting together some good swings, good contact, but we had 3 hits and no runs. Okay, that's the stuff that gets old and stale and sour taste in pretty much every single Yankees fan's mouth at this rate. I mean, I know Chris and I are big Yankees fans. There's a lot of other people that are big Yankees fans, too. And if I hear this one more time...
It's right in front of us. It's right here. And we can fix it.
That's the passion that I want my Yankees manager to have. So that was a really good sound cut for sure. I enjoy the content that they do. And all this can go away if the Yankees find a way to get a win tonight in a big one. 7:07 first pitch. It is on Amazon Prime Video. That is my main event on a Wednesday. Now, before we get to Stump MJ and take some of your calls, I have to tell everybody about, of course, proud sponsors. It's a big day for the Pet Lodge Clifton Park. Dogs of the Week on a Wednesday. Of course, owner Matt Sames is a big Yankees fan. I know he's got a lot of built-up frustration, but you know what makes him happy? It makes a lot of people happy? The Pet Lodge Clifton Park, and he's the proud owner of that. They're currently remodeling. It's been for over 20 years. They just do great work, and they are the best. They truly are the best. They've been earning the trust of Capital Region pet parents with a world-class doggy daycare program, stress-free boarding, and expert obedience training that brings out the best in every single one of your pet dogs or cats. In conveniently located between exit 9 and 10 of the North Wind, I do mean conveniently, ladies and gentlemen. They're right in the heart of Clifton Park, easy in, easy out, all with a peace of mind that your pet is loved and cared for by a team that treats them like family. Come see why generations of local pet owners choose the Pet Lodge at Clifton Park, where customer service, trust, and love are always in the air. Book your reservation online, and you can call as well. I'll get that those details to you in just a second. But of course, it's they'll love it here is the motto, they being your specific pet. Brochure, grab it when you walk in on the left. And of course, it's just so convenient with the pricing. Standard luxury size boarding rooms. There's the daycare as well. All the evaluations are easy, training forms for the staff and also for your pet, all the vaccines, everything that they need, they're going to be all good to go. Holiday discounts, family discounts, vacation discounts as well, and it's just such a great spot. Call the number to book a reservation. It's 518-877-9663. One of Matt Sam's terrific staff members, where they're very friendly and personable, will get you as well. 518-877-9663. 518-877-9663. Or check them out online at petlodges.com. Petlodgeswithans.com. And they're proud sponsors of Dogs of the Week and just Open Mic in general. Tell them MJ sent you from Open Mic here on 104.5 The Team, ESPN Radio. All right, it's time for Stump MJ on a Wednesday. Here we go, the final pair of tickets to Adam Sandler. Chris Lockwood is across the glass. I've been a little bit of a hot streak. I've been able to get some questions here recently. Bob from Lake George last week wasn't able to stump me with a fair question. That's because I'm staring at who Bob from Lake George was. He was a little imposter syndrome. It was Chris Lockwood, of course, on a day he was out last week. But it's your chance. Anybody out there wants to go see Adam Sandler? Happy Gilmore 2 is coming out on Netflix this weekend. Adam Sandler. All you have to do is ask me a sports trivia question. You stump me, you're good to go. 518-476-1045. 518-476-1045. Stump MJ on a Wednesday. 518-476-1045. That is next on 104.5 The Team. ESPN Radio. Welcome back to Open Mic with your host, the great one they call me, Michael Johnson Jr., a.k.a. MJ. Thanks, everybody, for tuning in on a Wednesday, July the 23rd. Another nice, beautiful, hot summer day. And what do you say? We do a little Stump MJ this time on a Wednesday.
Now it's time for Stump MJ on 104.5 The Team.
All right, the calls are lining up. And this is for a chance to win Adam Sandler, MVP Arena, September 16th. A pair of tickets, you and a guest, free, courtesy of me, on Open Mic. And who do we got? Let's go to Josh from Stillwater. He's on line one. What's going on, Josh? How are you?
Hey, I'm good, MJ. How are you?
All good, buddy. All good. What is your question? What do we got?
We'll just go to the NFL.
Okay.
Go to the AFC South. So the Jaguars, Jacksonville Jaguars. What is the name of the Jaguars mascot?
I mean, this is just let's see, Jags mascot. I tell you what, I am going to take a wild guess here, Josh, that it starts with a J. I have absolutely no idea. I'm going to go with Jack the Jaguar. There's no chance that's right, but I'm going to take a wild guess. Why not?
You're not that far off. It's Jackson DeVille.
I just say hey, I was close. But
I got this trivia question this week.
You did.
That sports trivia.
Okay.
And I was like, well, I'm going to get the opportunity. I'm going to ask it.
I love it. And you did, and you succeeded. Well, Josh, hey, listen, more than fair question. Appreciate the contributions. Congratulations. Chris Lockwood will take down your information, and you'll be all set for September 16th MVP Arena. All right? Thanks a lot.
Yeah, thanks, MJ. Appreciate it.
You got it. Josh from Stillwater. All right. Didn't know the answer, but that's all good. And he's the winner on Stump MJ. So good stuff, Josh. Appreciate you chiming in. And we're all good as also. My record's got to be like three for 13, 3 for 14. Who knows? But there's a story that came out with the NFL. This is not news really at all. But day one of Giants training camp, Roger and I will be there for Big Board Sports coming up on Tuesday, July 29th. And this is for Jordan Ronan. And Russell Wilson announced that Brian Daboll announced that Russell Wilson will be the week one starter. Giants don't have any quarterback controversies. Russell Wilson's the clear-cut starting quarterback as they begin training camp, Coach Brian Daboll said Wednesday morning. These guys will be out here competing, but Russ is our starter, Daboll said of the veteran quarterback. The Giants signed Wilson and fellow quarterback Jameis Winston in free agency and selected Jackson Dart in the first round of this year's draft. They also have Tommy DeVito on the roster. Dart's development will be a focus throughout the season after the Giants traded back into the first round to take him with the 25th overall pick. When he takes the field in a regular season game, will depend on his progress and Wilson's performance. In an ideal world for the Giants, Dart might not see the field much or at all. I think there's some real benefits from sitting and learning specifically from some of the guys in the room that have the experience that they have, General Manager Joe Shane said. But if the coaching staff at some point feels it's right and he's ready, then I'll leave that up to them. This coaching staff has seen it work both ways. Offensive coordinator Mike Kafka was in Kansas City during Mahomes' rookie year. One of his primary tasks that season was to handle Mahomes' development. So there is that. And Kafka's here to try to hopefully help Jackson Dart, too. Shane and Dable were in Buffalo with Josh Allen, took over the second half of the season opener in 2018. Could Dart be in a similar territory? Now, Dart didn't look outstanding in training camp. I mean, he was 3-for-7 at a TD, threw a pick six with his first pass. But Russell Wilson was more than good at Giants training camp earlier today. And I'll check my guy Jordan Ron on Twitter, who we're going to see, of course, coming up next week. Always good to catch up with him. Wilson was 10 of 17 passing with 4 TDs as the Giants worked a lot of red zone in their first camp practice. Dart was 3 of 7 with a touchdown and an interception in live drills at the Quest Diagnostics Training Center. Again, we will be there coming up on Tuesday. Andrew Thomas expected to be good to go on week one. This is a guy who played 16 games the last two seasons. He's one of the cornerstone tackles and one of the best left tackles in all of football. Andrew Thomas should be good to go in week one for the New York Giants. And Brian Dable wants Jackson Dart to get better every single day. Well, no blank, Brian Dable. I mean, Dart's the key to you keeping your job as they are both on the hottest of hot seats with the New York Giants. So it's going to be interesting to see how this plays out, the quarterback situation. Russell Wilson is going to start. I don't know how good he's really going to be, because if you look again at this Giants schedule, realistically looking at this, right, it is a schedule that is extremely daunting. And Giants fans will tell you that too, because on paper, it's one of the hardest schedules in the NFL. Preseason, they take on the Bills, Jets, and Patriots. At the Commanders, at the Cowboys, home against the Chiefs, home against the Chargers, first 4 weeks. You could start 0-4. Then you're at the Saints, maybe a win. Saints aren't good. Then you're home against the Eagles, at the Broncos, at the Eagles, home against the 49ers. Okay, that also doesn't bode well. At the Bears, home against the Packers, at the Lions, at the Patriots, home against the Commanders, home against the Vikings, at the Raiders, home against the Cowboys. I don't see more than 6 wins probably on that schedule, if we're being realistic. So the Giants aren't going to be that good again. And again, if you want to hop aboard and chime in, talk some Giants and some realistic expectations of the Yankees of the big game tonight, call 518-476-1045. The hot mic line is always open. Chris Lockwood across glass. That number is 518-476-1045. You want to talk some Giants and Yankees, 518-476-1045. This Giants team is going to be in for it this season. I really think offensively, I think if you have Andrew Thomas, like the pass rush on defense is going to be great and electric with Abdul Carter, Kayvon Thibodeaux, Sexy Dexy, Dexter Lawrence, just to name a few. But the secondary, right? Middle of the interior offensive line, not great. I mean, Malik Nabers, Tyrone Tracy Jr., yes, good. And the defensive pass rush, too. Quarterback play is a question mark. It is. And this Giants team needs to try to... I mean, if they could somehow start the year 2-2 in those games, I think that would be incredible. I mean, they don't beat Dallas. Dallas is probably their best shot to get a win there. Maybe the Chargers, too. They're not beating Kansas City. I don't care who you are. They're also not going to be beating the Commanders week one. At least I don't think. A lot of people are saying the Commanders could take a step back this year. They could. A lot of quarterbacks have had stud rookie years take a step back in year two because teams get better at analyzing their film, their performance, all that good stuff. But the Giants are going to be one of the most talked about teams this year, not just us in New York, but nationally the media as well, because Jackson Dart is an intriguing situation. Is he going to be the latest in a long lineage of quarterbacks that stay under the tutelage of someone to go well? Aaron Rodgers under Brett Favre, Patrick Mahomes under Alex Smith, Josh Allen, who was waiting under, I believe it was Tyrod Taylor. These are all guys that can absolutely be electric and can take over, come in, replace big shoes to fill and step in. And unequivocally, I don't know if Jackson Dart is that kind of guy to step in. I think the talent is there for sure. I think the confidence is there, but we'll see how it plays out. And this is always a treat when you see this. When you open up the hot mic line, you want certain people. And again, let's play that liner just in case anybody forgot.
Let's open up the hot mic.
Sounds so good.
MJ wants to hear from you.
It
now
sounds
on
so
open
good.
Mic.
And number one caller on open mic. There's a lot of people that call in. My girlfriend Lauren, Jimmy the Italian Stallion, my dad recently, Mike from Schenectady, Corey. But nobody tops Joe from Peekskill. And Joe is on line one. And he is calling in here on a Wednesday. Joe, what is going on, buddy? How are you?
Mike, I'm good. I wasn't going to call in, but I got frustrated because we hear the I am one that when I listen to the Pacers, anything Pacers related, anything Yankees and Giants related, I almost never listen to the coaches or I never listen to the players because they're going to give you very repetitive answers. They're dodging the questions. And what, like, we don't get that with Aaron Boone. Yes, you're going on these podcasts. Yes, you're answering these questions very in depth. But when he's in those podcasts or he's getting interviewed after games, he's telling us how elite Anthony Volpe is. Well, Anthony Volpe isn't elite right now, so I'm very frustrated. So they're going to attack you when you're saying that. And then Anthony Volpe saying, listen, you already got the heat. Give me a casual answer so I don't pay attention. Yet you don't give me that. You say, we got the whole season ahead of us. Buddy, you're under 500 against the AL East. What are we doing? It's right now. It's right now. You don't play good against the Blue Jays and the Red Sox. I need you to play good. When you give us these answers, you tell us about how much season is left in front of us. Oh, we want to win. We know that. I know how elite Anthony Volpe can be, but he is not. So stop defending it. Stop giving me these answers. I'm done with it. Go Pacers.
That's just... I mean, that's an electric rant. It really is. And it's so true. It's so true. Joe, frustrated Yankees fan like us all. And you want a little bit of this?
It's right.
You really do.
It's right here.
I mean, it's just one of those.
We can fix it.
I mean, you just need that sometimes for Boone. Stop defending Anthony Volpe, Aaron Boone. He has 13 errors. I know last night wasn't necessarily on him, but I mean, what do we want? Is it a pity party here? I mean, what are we doing?
Aww.
Right. I mean, you don't know at this rate. But, like, Anthony Volpe needs to step up. The Yankees are horrendous against the American League East, Joe. Thank you again for bringing that up. And last night, at least it was a three-run bomb for our boy Jazz Chisholm.
You like jazz?
We do. We like jazz. Sad the soundboard is becoming dangerous as I stare at it right now. But look, Yankees tonight, game three. Go take care of business and actually win a big series against the Toronto Blue Jays on the road. Thank you, Joe, for calling in. Thank you, Josh. Congratulations on the Adam Sandler tickets. Coming up next, Dogs of the Week, mic drop. Chris Lockwood joins me in studio before we get to Eric Moody and some fantasy football at 3:45. On the Wednesday edition of Open Mic. I'm 104.5 The Team. All right, we are back on Open Mic, 104.5 The Team, ESPN Radio, the free 104.5 The Team app. Sometimes you just want to turn the radio up real loud, like that song said, lock your door and listen to Open Mic. Well, there's a good way you can do that. You check out Open Mic with MJ. Just search that anywhere you get your podcasts, Apple Podcasts and Spotify, and you can catch up on any episodes you missed. Only an hour, about 40, 45 minutes of content. Commercial breaks are taken out, and it's a good time. But let's do a little mic drop on a Wednesday a little earlier. And here's a wild hint. It's Yankees Blue Jays related.
Now it's time for MJ's mic drop. On Open Mic on 104.5 The Team.
Max Fried, 7 strong, 2 runs or less. Yankees win the game tonight 5-2, and they win the series over the Toronto Blue Jays because they need to. I've been a little decent with the starting pitching lines, game predictions, not so much. Let's do a live scoreboard update of the New York Mets. I texted my buddies earlier, and they joke that I have what's called the MJ jinx when it comes to sports. I said, does Francisco Lindor play with the Mets anymore, because he was 0 for his last like 30 something, and Lindor has 2 RBIs for the Mets in this game right now against the Angels. They're currently up 6-3, and Alonso hit an absolute nuke, 6-3, middle of the 8th inning, Mets up on the Angels. Coming in a little segment early today is Chris Lockwood. He is in studio. What is going on, Chris?
I'm happy. You know, I'm actually happy the Yankees finally won a game in Toronto. I never thought they'd do it.
Yeah. Yeah, and well, let's do, what do you say, Lockridge? Let's do a little Dogs of the Week here on Open Mic.
Now it's time for Dogs of the Week, sponsored by the Pet Lodge of Clifton Park.
Sounds so good. Thank you. Shout out Matt Sams and the Pet Lodge of Clifton Park. Dogs of the Week, 3-2-1. Chris, who's number three?
Number three, catcher for the New York Mets, Francisco Alvarez.
Ooh.
He was in AAA. He got sent down to AAA about a month ago on June 21st. Since being in AAA, he hit 270, 372, 757 with a 1.129 OPS. And the stat that stood out to me, he had 11 home runs in 21 games. And in his second game, getting called back up to the major leagues, hit a 2-run home run last night to propel the Mets to victory over the Angels.
Wow. He absolutely raked in
11 home runs in 21 games.
Yeah,
that's
no,
pretty
I never
great.
Understood the move. Sometimes I guess it's a... it's a wake-up call that sometimes you need. Yeah, get the confidence. It's working. Volpe, maybe that's one of those things that might. But
I wouldn't be mad at
you
it.
You don't have a backup.
No,
you
don't they don't have a backup shortstop.
Bring back LeMahieu. I mean, really, you do literally have no backup options. All right, Alvarez 3, we like it. 2, what we got?
2. This man last night, Yankee fans were relying on this kid in his second career start, and man, did Cam Schlittler deliver. I mean, 5 innings, 2 runs, 3 walks, 3 strikeouts, nothing crazy. He did the job. He put the Yankees in a position to win the game, and that's all you can ask from a kid making his second career start against what I would say is the hottest offense in baseball for at least a month now, the Blue Jays, 2 months probably.
Yeah, it's look, he was solid in all capital letters, I think. Schlittler is 2 for 2 on more than quality starts and appearances for the Yankees. I think he'll be slated to start early next week against Tampa.
Yeah.
He won't pitch in the Philly series. He might pitch Monday, actually. And that's going to be big for the Yankees. Schlittler, like him, confident dude. And that 100 looks way faster because of A, his arm angle, and B, his height.
Oh, yeah,
because
he's really tall.
It's probably 104
oh, definitely.
Is what it's coming out, because there are a lot of hitters were really behind it last night. Good outing for Schlittler. I like it. He's 2. Who's 1? Top dog. Here we go.
This is a huge honor. I know this guy has a Rookie of the Year award, an MVP award. But you know what's at the top of his list? Being the number one dog of the week on open mic, Cody Bellinger.
That's such a good pick.
Cody Bellinger.
Well done.
Since June 1st, Cody Bellinger is hitting .323, 10 homers, 25 RBIs, and only has a 9% strikeout rate. Last night, he went 3 for 4 with 2 doubles and a home run. And for some reason, he didn't play in game 1 of this series. But Cody Bellinger has been all that the Yankees could have asked for and more in his first year in pinstripes.
That is redonkulous.
It
right
is.
There.
I mean, it really is. Thank you, Chris Collinsworth. It's just Cody Bellinger has improved his batting average by over 100 points, which is impressive. Great glove, super chill guy. And how can you not root for a guy like Bellinger? Sweet swing. And you know why the Yankees lost Monday? He wasn't in the lineup.
Exactly.
Why? I don't know. In a big series, day off, unless it was personal matters and I'm not aware of. I don't know. Well done, Chris. Well done. That's our Dogs of the Week on a Wednesday, sponsored by the Pet Lodge of Clifton Park. All right, so we got a few games before we get to Eric Moody. What do you got up your sleeve today?
We do. So first off, we have a blind ranking, and then you and me are going to do a combined draft that you already know about. So the blind ranking today, I did not send you these guys. I'm going to send you the guys real quick. Oh, wait, no, I'm not saying you the guys. It's a blind ranking.
What are we doing?
Mistakes.
Oh,
mistakes.
Boy, what's going on over there?
I'm rattled.
We hand up.
Hand off accountability.
That's fine.
That's what you got to do.
That's all you
got to
do.
So the blind ranking today, the category is funny actors.
Oh.
So blind rank them
like
based on
actors.
How funny you think they are. Because I know, we know all the listeners think you are hilarious, obviously.
I appreciate
you
that.
Are.
Naturally
you're
funny.
The man.
Naturally funny. All right. Thank you.
First off, on the funny actors blind ranking, Will Ferrell, starting off hot.
One
off the bat.
Will Ferrell, in my opinion, I think his movies...
He has not done that. Wow. I agree with you. Honestly, I do.
I go one.
I didn't know
that's,
if you would put
from
someone
the
at one.
Yeah, that's one.
Second, Adam Sandler.
2.
He is taking this with a different approach, yeah. Ladies and gentlemen.
You're not beating those two.
3rd, Seth Rogen.
4.
Okay. 4th, we have Steve Carell.
Without knowing who the last... Steve Carell's pretty funny. I'm going 3.
He is.
Yeah.
But I do think you will regret it, because last is Kevin Hart.
I would have put 3 or 4. Not high. Maybe even 4 I would have put Hart. I mean, I'm fine with 5. I like Kevin Hart. I think he's funny. I'd take Will Ferrell and Adam Sandler all day long over him.
Good list.
Yeah, not bad.
I think you're happy
with
how
that turned out. Will Ferrell's my
number
1. He has the funniest stepbrothers,
oh, yeah,
other guys,
hilarious.
Old school. His movies are my all-time favorite comedy movies. And Adam Sandler,
movie,
close second.
Every movie Will Ferrell has is a classic.
Happy Gilmore 2 Netflix Friday, right?
Yeah, I think so.
I can't wait to watch that. That'll be good, yeah. I mean, we'll be betting the first, probably not, but it's gonna be wild with all the cameos and celebrities. All right, yet again, I crush a blind ranking.
Okay.
Thank you, Chris. Now we got a little top 5 list.
Yeah,
rolling out here today?
We're gonna do a draft of both of our top 5s of the greatest athletes of all time. We kind of got talking about it a little bit yesterday.
Wow.
We were talking about who's the greatest baseball athlete.
Very
but this
tough.
Is just greatest athletes in general and just based on pure dominance. But we cannot repeat guys. So if I say somebody with my first pick, you can't take them. And we'll do... Do you want to do it snake style? I feel like we probably should do snake draft.
Okay. Is this in no particular order? Are we going 5 through 1?
It's no... It's
no particular order.
Just draft based on who's the best.
Okay.
Do you want first pick or second pick? I'll let you have it.
I'll be first pick.
Okay.
Thank you for asking. Very polite of you.
You are the boss.
Thank you. So I will go. Boy, greatest athletes of all time. Tiger Woods.
Tiger Woods. I like that pick a lot.
Mm.
Honestly, I do. I thought you'd go the more generic route, but my first pick, this is also might be a shock. Michael Phelps.
Oh, man, he was on my list. You want
to talk about dominance? Yeah. Oh, my God. How many gold medals? Like 20-something gold medals?
He won like 11 in one Olympics,
He's
didn't he?
Incredible.
Or was it for 8, yeah. I think it was. Yeah.
So now I get the next pick as well because snake draft, obviously. Tom Brady.
Okay.
Tom Brady. Okay. I mean, two goats of their sport, without a doubt, I would say.
I like that. I like that a lot. I really do. Michael Jordan is the obvious one next, going NBA. Okay. Michael Jordan is my second.
Good.
Third, we'll go MLB, and we will go Babe Ruth. I feel like Babe is an obvious one.
I mean,
it's just what he did for baseball back in his time for the Yankees. He's got to make the list. He's three for me.
I don't know who I want to take for
Now it gets tricky. Five guys are off the board.
It does get a little tricky, but you know what? I don't agree with you on one thing. I don't think Michael Jordan's the greatest athlete in basketball. I'm taking LeBron.
Oh, no.
I'm taking LeBron. He's
He
is the better basketball player.
All right.
I'm taking LeBron.
All right. Now who's your next one? That's
my
three.
My next pick.
This is tough. The wheels are turning right now.
I am.
Because now it starts getting really tough.
Yeah, this is.
You got to start. I got a couple in the bag.
I have the list.
I got a couple.
Ooh, let me get Lionel Messi.
Going international.
A little soccer. Yeah,
Lionel Messi. Nice.
I think he's definitely top of my list over Ronaldo. It's about the only two soccer players I know.
All right, I'm going to go actually international way back. Pele from Brazil and what
he did
World Cup. And for the sport of tennis, I'm going to go with Roger Federer because
I personally liked
him. As you think different sports, that's my five different sports represented. Golf and basketball, baseball, tennis, and... I'm already blanking on what my other one was.
You have
who'd
Tiger?
I pick before Federer?
Pele,
soccer. Pele. I didn't even do NFL. NFL's hard. So you got one more pick?
Well, I took Brady. Without Brady, I mean, that's...
Yeah.
That could
you
really
have just one
anywhere.
More, right?
I have one more, and I'm taking another little bit of a wild card similar to my first pick. Give me Usain Bolt.
Oh, wow.
I mean, dominant.
Well done.
Greatest runner of all time.
Well done.
But two really solid teams we built. You have Tiger Woods, Michael Jordan, Babe Ruth, Pele and Roger Federer.
Yeah.
I have Michael Phelps, Tom Brady, LeBron, Messi, and Usain Bolt.
Very, very solid.
I mean, those are incredible.
That's well done.
That's great. Beautiful.
Nicely done, Chris. Thank you as always. And what do you say? We talk some fantasy football coming up next with the great Eric Moody from ESPN and talk a little sports betting as well. Eric Moody is going to make his open mic debut next. On the Wednesday edition of Open Mic 104.5, the team ESPN Radio, and the free 104.5, the team app. What a phenomenal open mic, dare I say, that it's been so far on a Wednesday. I mean, Green Day, time of your life. I mean, I don't know if you're a little moody, you're in a little bit like that. Oh, that's because we've got the great Eric Moody on the line making his debut on my new show, Open Mic, and that's M-I-K-E, of course. Always a joy and a treat to be talking fantasy football on our airwaves here, 104.5, the team, ESPN Radio, and the free 104.5, the team app. And the great Eric Moody of ESPN joins me here. Follow him on Twitter at Eric N. Moody. Does a great job at getting back to fans and offering a lot of great fantasy football advice. He also has can win you some money with his various NBA, WNBA, and NFL bets as well. Eric, long time no talk, my friend. Thanks so much for a few minutes. How are you?
Oh, I am doing great. Yeah, I was happy to see you reached out, and I was sitting there thinking, you know, it is that time of the year again. You know, we got NFL training camp going on. Before we know it, the preseason will be here. But more importantly, you know, fantasy football draft. So I am excited to be here, but also, as you mentioned, to, I guess, make my debut on your new show as well. So thrilled.
Yeah, absolutely. Always appreciate the time, Eric. You do great work. Big fan, but you got a big fan in me here, of course. And let's dive into it. Drafts are going to be starting within the next month or so. I mean, some start early, but you wait till preseason if there's any injuries, of course, that happen. And you always like to see the rookie breakouts. And last year there were quite a few, and there's obviously there's going to be some again this year with some of those first and second round picks. So we were texting a little bit back and forth. I know you've got about seven, right? Seven rookies that you like, and I'll let you take it from here. Who are a few rookies that you think are poised for potential breakout years and fantasy owners should be considering drafting them with their drafts coming up?
Yeah, there's a lot of names to get into. So we'll start with one at the top. You know, this is not going to surprise anyone. You've got Ashton Jeantey with the Las Vegas Raiders, you know, running back. So let's talk about him. You know, he's a potential fantasy RB1, like, right out of the gate. I mean, you look at last year in the nation. I'm like, he had, you know, he led, you know, with, what, 2,601 rushing yards?
Yeah.
He also had, like, 126 forced missed tackles at Boise State. I'm like, that's a lead level contact balance there and home run potential. He also topped the class in yards after contact and broken tackle rate, too. Not just for the season, but really across his entire collegiate career. Now you look at the situation. He steps into a lead role, you know, in this, you know, Raiders offense. Mm. You know, Chip Kelly, you know, offense that's built for speed and space. I'm like, he's a true three-down back with serious receiving upside, drafted number 6 overall. I'm like, he isn't just like the top rookie, in my opinion. I'm like, he might be this year's, like, breakout, like, star. So very, very high and looking forward to seeing what Jeantey brings to the table. So I know that's one name, but I can just go down the list if you like, or
go
if you want to chime in.
Right. Go ahead, yeah.
All right, I'll keep diving in. So another player, and then we've been kind of talking about Najee Harris and the, you know, Los Angeles Chargers here recently, but you've got Omarion Hampton there, who's in a great spot. But he brings some serious power to this backfield. He's 6 feet tall, 221 pounds. He's a downhill, like, battering ram. I'm like, he averaged nearly 4 yards after the catch last year, fourth best in the class. He's not flashy, but he is efficient, you know, running through defenders, you know, cutting when it counts, and really showing that surprising burst, at least in my opinion, at the combine. Now, he's going to split work of Najee Harris, but who knows what's going on with Najee Harris, because he likes to play with fireworks. I will leave it at that. But you've got, you know, this Jim Harbaugh, Greg Roman system, right?
Yeah.
It's built on smash-mouth football. And as an ex-offensive lineman I played in college, I'm like, that's my kind of offense. And so one thing about Hampton, like, with his volume, I'm like, it should be steady. I'm looking at him, like, his floor is like a low-end RB2, but he does have weekly touchdown upside, especially if the Chargers do lean a little bit more into that physicality, you know, with the running game, right? So another name. We got to talk about R.J. Harvey, right? Running back of the Denver Broncos.
Mm-hmm.
Guy might be small on paper, but he plays big. He's 5'8", 205 pounds. He's another guy that's like a wrecking ball, like, with burst. One thing I did love about Harvey is that he had a class best, like, 23%, like, rate, success rate, like, on 10-plus yard runs, like, last season. You know, Denver grabbed him in round 2. He only has, like, J.K. Dobbins, like, in his way. So I think he's someone that can emerge fast. We all know about Sean Payton and the success that he's had with running backs, in particular pass-catching backs, you know, like Alvin Kamara during his time in New Orleans. So he's a guy I love landing in the 4th, 5th, or 6th round, depending on the size of your league, RB2 with upside. So, you know, we've got to talk about Travis Hunter, right? You got to talk about him a little bit.
Oh, yes, you do. Absolutely. Take it away.
Right,
yeah.
So let's do it. I'm like, this is a guy that's like a wild card with massive upside. He's drafted by the Jaguars, of course. He's playing alongside Brian Thomas Jr. I'm like, he's electric after the catch. So I want you to think like an ankle breaker in space, a guy with great body control at the catch point that should translate very well to the NFL. As I mentioned, he's going to be playing opposite of Brian Thomas Jr. And he has the juice to turn like short gains into like highlight worthy, like, clips that we'll all watch on X and then on ESPN. But I think the big question is snap count, right? People are wondering, okay, is this going to be a guy that's going to really play some snaps like on defense? So we'll see what that looks like. But when you have Leon Cohn like calling plays, you got Trevor Lawrence throwing the ball, I like taking a swing with Travis Hunter in like rounds like 7 or 8. I think it's a swing that's worth taking. I'm looking at him as like a wide receiver 3 for fantasy purposes, with a, you know, some wide receiver 2 spike week. So Panthers wide receiver, another guy, Tedarora McMillan, you know, Carolina. Big body on this guy. Big body technician, 6'4", 219 pounds, got soft hands. He's got like a knack for finding space. Like, he's not a burner. This is a guy that's going to win with size, timing, and feel. especially against zone, right?
Yeah. No, so, yeah. He's a big body. You're right about that. He's going to be explosive for sure. Any other rookies catch your eye and really appreciate and love this deep dive? I could do a whole interview, Eric, and I could just have you at a certain position and you could just take it and run. So this is great so far. But any other rookies on your radar in addition to the ones you just mentioned here?
Yeah, I'll just mention two real quick, you know, just sure. For time purposes. Obviously, Caleb Johnson, you're running back with the Steelers. You know, you got to land this guy. He's in a great spot. Playing alongside Jaylen Warren. Last but not least, you've got Travion Henderson with the Patriots. Again, playing alongside Stevenson, Ramondre Stevenson. He's in a good spot as well. They'll be a part of the committee. So I like those guys like in round 7, 8, or 9. Think of both of them, I would say, as like strong flex plays, but with RB2 upside. So I think in a nutshell, those are really the rookies, you know, that I have on my radar and that fantasy manager should as well.
Noted. It was a very good elite breakdown there, Eric. Really appreciate you diving in. 7 rookies. Take notes again. We'll be posting this. Eric will post this interview on his socials. It'll be up on the Open Mic with MJ podcast after this. So do check it out. We know how popular and prevalent fantasy football is in the Capital Region and, of course, well beyond that. All right. I saw you've got 4 players that you think fantasy owners should be avoiding with drafts. Run through them for me. Who we got for the 4?
Yeah, I'll run through them real quick. Like, you've got Baker Mayfield. I know he's like a QB 6 or 7, like, okay. In the Indian League. So
yeah.
I feel like you're kind of drafting him, like, at his ceiling. I just don't see him outperforming guys like Josh Allen or Jalen Hurts. And then you've got Liam Cohn, who's gone. Then you've got, you know, Mike Evans, who's there. Chris Godwin's banged up. It's just a situation I'm trying to avoid when possible. Not too thrilled about James Cook either. I know he scored 18 total touchdowns in 2024, you know, more than double the 9 he scored in his first 2 seasons combined. I know he's got the contract situation going as well. Just kind of screaming regression with me, especially with Ray Davis like emerging. And plus Josh Allen, you know, he's still going to steal some goal line carries, right? DJ Moore is another guy. Mm. I just think that target share is shrinking in Chicago. I'm like, you've got Rome Odunze, who's still there. They added draft picks in Colston Loveland. You got Luther Burden, who's there as well. So I think his volume and DJ Moore could take a hit, even if the offense does improve under Ben Johnson. Last but not least, I'm going to stay in Chicago, right? I'm looking at DeAndre Swift. He's being drafted as like a borderline RB2, you know, but he's kind of like the poster child for what I would call like a dead zone, like running back. Yeah. Like, he's not very like efficient. He was just the RB32 in points per game after week 9 last year. And you've got Ben Johnson, that connection. I'm like, he already phasing out once in Detroit, right? And you've got a rookie that's in the mix as well. It's just hard for me to look at Swift drafting him at his average draft position, feeling like he's going to be able to return that value. If he dips a round or two, I'm a little bit more comfortable. But again, not a player that I'm going out of my way to land on my team.
There we go. 4 guys, mark it down, that you should be avoiding in your fantasy drafts per the great Eric Moody here of ESPN. I've got a friend who's chiming in already. When you're on, people listen. They start asking questions, Eric. So my buddy's concerned about Christian McCaffrey. Are you scared to draft him this year after another injury-prone season? Or do you take a flyer on him and take a chance on CMC, knowing what the upside could be in San Francisco? What are your thoughts on McCaffrey?
Yeah, and that's a tough one. So I've gotten that question before, and you heard a lot of fantasy managers last year. But I'm sitting there thinking, if you're in the later part of round 1 and Christian McCaffrey is there, you know his body of work statistically. Even if he gets a limited number of touches, not nearly as much as he's accustomed to, I'd gladly draft McCaffrey there at the later part of the first round if I know that he's getting, what, anywhere from 16 to 18 touches at the most.
Yeah.
He's just too efficient to pass up at that price, though. So.
Yeah, I like it. Yeah, I mean, McCaffrey, if he's there, I'm with you. I mean, if I got McCaffrey and it's a little bit of a later round or he's slipping, I'm certainly taking him and adding him in my running back room for sure. Eric, who are your top 5 overall PPR fantasy football? Who are the top 5 overall guys that should be going off that board 1 through 5 here?
It's hard to overlook like Ja'Marr Chase. Everyone's like, I've got the number 1 pick. Who should I take? I'm like, you got to go take Ja'Marr Chase, right? And I'm like, outscored Justin Jefferson last year, led the league in routes, targets, receptions, yards, touchdowns, and a league-high 17, like, end-zone targets. Insane. You got to go with him next up. Got to go with Bijan Robinson. Had a slow start, right? But he really went boom after week 6, 23.3 touches per game and 22.8 fantasy points per game. Then you got Saquon Barkley. We all know what he did last year. Probably my biggest concern was Barkley. Guy had 482 touches last season, if you include the playoffs. Although, did lead the league in carries, touches, and scrimmage yards. So you have to respect that. I would have him at 3 at number 4. You got to have Justin Jefferson. Guy's consistent since 2020. You know, he leads all receivers with over 7,400 yards. He's had at least 100 catches and 1,500 yards in each of the last 3 full seasons. Last but not least, you got to go with Jahmyr Gibbs, the reigning RB1, right? Scored 20 touchdowns.
Yeah.
He's dominant as both a rusher and receiver. And even with David Montgomery healthy, I'm like, he's still very productive. So it's hard to not see him on the clock if you're picking kind of mid to the later part of the first round and then select Gibbs. So those will be my top 5.
I love Gibbs, but are you worried about a potential drop-off with Ben Johnson not being the OC? Or still doesn't matter? He's still going to get consistent production with Detroit?
Yeah, I know that is a concern, but I still see him getting consistent like production. Another thing, too, I think a lot of folks are sleeping on David Montgomery, too, who's available like a little bit later. You look at our projections, you know, they're done by Mike Clay. He does have a split between like both backs. My memory serves me right with Clay's last update with the numbers. Probably looking at like a 60-40 or so split. So even with that, I still love Gibbs early. But also, if you miss out on Gibbs, don't overlook David Montgomery. I believe he's the RB21 in ESPN leagues from looking at our draft trends. That was probably a day and a half ago, unless they changed. But
yeah,
he was the RB21.
Gotcha. Yeah, no, I mean, Jahmyr Gibbs, look, he was my dad had him on his fantasy team last year. Loved him. I mean, Gibbs is an explosive guy and an explosive offense you'd love to have. Hey, last question before I let you go real quick here, Eric. I mean, Drake May, we got stuff up on good research on Drake May here. Year 2 showed some signs and flashes. Mike Vrabel's now his head coach. What do you think from a fantasy perspective about Drake May, quarterback position here?
Yeah, I do find myself drafting May quite a bit. I love him as like a QB2 if you're in a super flex format, but I do believe there's a path for him to finish like as a top 10 fantasy quarterback this year. So let me kind of explain myself here because I can see big eyes if I could see as you're listening to this. But you think back like in week 6 of last season when May took over, he showed some serious promise. You know, he threw for, 2,254 yards, had 15 touchdowns, added 409 rushing yards over 11 starts. And so that's nearly top 12 fantasy QB production. I think the rushing floor sets him apart. I'm like, especially the yards per carry that he averages when compared to other quarterbacks. You kind of alluded to this. You got Mike Vrabel there, new coaching staff, run heavy style. You got Josh McDaniels, whose style is very adaptable, which is a great fit for someone like May. Then you've got the improved supporting cast, Stephon Diggs, Matt Collins, you got rookie Kyle Williams, and we talked briefly a moment ago about Henderson, the running back. But most importantly, you know, it all comes back to offensive line play for me. You've got an improved offensive line, which should lead to less pressure and cleaner pockets for May. And I think once you bring all those things together, I'm like, he's a great value at his ADP, a steal in my opinion.
Yeah.
So I love getting him as like a QB2 if you're in a super flex format, or if you want a backup quarterback, go ahead and land him in a 1 quarterback league. But I think he's a late round steal who could easily break out in year 2.
Love it. Drake May, New England Patriots. Take a flyer on him if he's there. And Eric, I'm proud to announce, we were texting earlier, this is confirmed, starting the week of August 18th on Wednesday, August 20th. Throughout the NFL and fantasy season, Eric will join me every Wednesday. The interview will air at 3:30 p.m., and we are going to call it In the Mood for Fantasy Football with Eric Moody. I love it, right? I mean, how good is that,
I love
Eric?
It as well.
Oh, it's
I'm excited.
Yeah,
this is going to be great. Looking forward to being able to catch up with you, you know, every week. More importantly, you know, talk about fantasy football, but I'd even say even more importantly, helping each and every one of you who are listening to dominate and win your fantasy football league. So it should be fun. Follow me on X as well at Eric N. Moody if you have any additional questions. I engage quite a bit, so there's a high percentage of a chance that you'll get your question answered.
Yes, and a high percentage chance that Eric's going to help you win some leagues. Eric, you're the best. Really appreciate it. We're going to kick things off in a month with the weekly segment. Thank you so much. Keep up the great work, and we will talk soon here, my friend. All the best.
Sounds good. Until next time.
All right, Eric Moody. I mean, how good was that? The dude absolutely brings it. I mean, Chris Lockwood, you were witnessing this interview here in studio. I mean, how good was that?
That was incredible.
I mean,
he brings the energy.
He's so good.
Like that was incredible.
He is so good. In the Mood for fantasy football.
Great name. Did you think of that?
We were bouncing back and forth. It was him. He's getting the credit.
Wow, that's great.
Something to play off his name. I mean, the dude is just an all-around good guy. And if fantasy football, there's a lot of guys that do it. He knows his stuff.
I was taking notes listening to him.
Yeah, I mean, he knows his stuff. He's backing it up with the stats. A lot of people know their stuff. Andy Fredericks knows his stuff. Make sure you listen to the Hot Seat Sundays from 11 a.m. To 12 noon. Chris, thank you as always. Won't see you until Monday. Best of edition of Open Mic tomorrow and Friday, but good work this week, my man. A little solo dolo for you. Nothing you couldn't handle, right?
Oh, no. Nothing the interns can't handle.
On the greatest show you've ever worked for and ever will.
The only show I've ever worked for.
That's right. That's right. That is Open Mic with me, MJ. Thank you, Chris Lockwood. Thank you to everybody for tuning in. Best of edition of Open Mic tomorrow from 3 to 4 p.m. Don't forget, Must Listen Radio when it's Big Board Sports with Roger Weiland and Vinny Fredericks on Thursday and Friday. And thank you, everybody. Freddie and Harry is coming up next with Eric Hanneman from 4 to 6:25. And then, of course, it is New York Yankees baseball game 3 against Toronto at 6:25. Take care, everybody. I'll be back live on Monday on 104.5 The Team, ESPN Radio, and the free 104.5 The Team app.
This has been Open Mic with MJ on 104.5 The Team, ESPN Radio.